Welcome to Torah Yimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenhoft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei HaYom and Bet, Perek Yutet. We continue the story of Yehoshaphat, son of Asa, king of Malchut Yehuda, in the 11 verses of chapter 19. The first pasuk informs us that Yehoshaphat returns home safely from Ramoth Gilead, where he had fought a war against Aram with Ahab, the king of Malchut Yisrael and his brother-in-law. The war did not end in absolute defeat, perhaps because the fighting ceased when Ahab died. The king of Aram achieved his objective, though, and it can be assumed that after the Arameans caused the Israelite camp to disperse, they had no further interest in pursuing the war. As Yehoshaphat returned home, he was met by Yehu ben Hanani the seer, who said to him, HaLarasha la'azor ulusonei Hashem tehav, ubazot alecha katsaf milifnei Hashem. Should you help the wicked and love those that hate Hashem? For this Hashem's wrath was upon you. Yehoshaphat was unaware of his error in associating with Ahab and of his own miraculous escape from death. Malbim says there are two criticisms in the pasuk. Helping the wicked in itself is forbidden. But Yehoshaphat did not just help Ahab, he also became personally and emotionally involved. Granted, they are relatives, but it is particularly reprehensible that he considered Ahab a friend. Hashem's anger results in Yehoshaphat almost dying in battle. Here we see another example of sibatiyut kfula, dual causality, where biblical narratives indicate the events can be understood through both divine and human perspectives. In chapter 18, we learned how the soldiers almost killed Yehoshaphat because they were commanded to kill Ahab and thought Yehoshaphat was Ahab. In our pasuk, we now see Hashem was angry at Yehoshaphat, and that's why he was almost killed. The Jerusalem Talmud teaches us that Hashem was so angry at Yehoshaphat that the enemy's sword was already at Yehoshaphat's throat when Hashem moved it away from him. Then Yehu continues and says, Aval, Tzvarim Tovim Nimtzu'u Imach, Ki Va'arta Asherot Min Ha'aretz, Va'achinota Levavcha Lidrosh Ha'elokim. However, you have accrued merit, for you have purged the land of the Asherah trees and set your heart to seek God. It's interesting that the removal of idolatry is what protects Yehoshaphat from punishment, not his enthusiastic propagation of Torah knowledge in his kingdom. But really, it does make sense. By joining with Ahab, Yehoshaphat had exposed himself and his kingdom to the evil influence of idolatry, which was rampant in the northern kingdom. But his ruthless efficiency at removing all vestiges of any idolatry in Malchut Yehuda is what would neutralize any effects an alliance with the northern kingdom might have. It would seem, based on what Yehoshaphat does in the remainder of the chapter, that he accepted Yehu's musar, rebuke, and presumably repented about his association with Ahab. But we will have to explore if that is in fact the case when we learn chapter 20. Vayashav Yehoshaphat b'Yerushalayim, Vayashav v'yetzei ba'ami b'er-sheva ad har-Ephraim, v'yeshivem el Hashem elkei avoseim. Yehoshaphat remained in Jerusalem a while, and then went out among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim. He brought them back to the eternal God of their ancestors. From this time on, Yehoshaphat avoided going to visit Ahab's family, but he did go out to be among the people. Malbim explains that Yehoshaphat set out to correct whatever false ideas had grown up among the people and to strengthen their attitudes and actions in the realm of mitzvos bein adam lamakom, commandments between man and God. Then it says in verse 5, Vayamid shoftim ba'aretz b'chol arei Yudah ha-betzerot la'ir v'ir. He appointed judges in the land in all the fortified towns of Yehuda, in each and every town. This is in accordance with the Torah's requirement that the judges be established in each city, as we know from Devarim. Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol sha'arecha. You shall appoint judges and officers for your tribes in all of your cities. Malbim explains that once Yehoshaphat put the people's spiritual life in order, he turned to improve their lives in terms of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the realm of commandments between man and man, by appointing provincial judges. It's an interesting direction for Yehoshaphat to take. Why would he choose this as his next step? Rashi suggests that it was Yehu's mention of the removal of the Asherah trees that gave Yehoshaphat the idea to establish courts. He remembered the juxtaposition of the two in Devarim, where the obligation to appoint judges is followed immediately by the prohibition to plant an Asherah tree in the vicinity of an altar of Hashem. Rabbi Moshe Eisenman suggests another possible explanation of how to answer the question by looking at the 11th blessing of our daily Shmona Esrei. Hashiva shofteinu kavarishona, v'yoatzeinu kavatchila, v'aser mimeni yagom v'nacha, umloch aleinu ata, Hashem, levadcha, v'chesed u'berachamim v'zadkeinu b'mishpat. Restore our judges as before and our counselors as at first. Remove sorrow and sighing from us, and reign over us, you, Hashem, alone, with kindness and compassion, and make us righteous with justice. The improved spiritual standing of the people may be directly tied to the establishment of the courts. The juxtaposition of restoring our judges, as in earlier times, and that Hashem should reign over us must be understood as Hashem will only allow His presence to rest in a society founded upon the absolute truth and justice of Torah's laws. Yehoshaphat brought the people back to Hashem, His direct providence, through His judicial reforms. But surely there must have been some arrangement in place before Yehoshaphat undertook these reforms. Obviously, no nation could have existed for five centuries without some workable, locally based system for enforcing the law of the land and judging the people. Yet, we don't have a clear picture from Tanakh as to what that system was. During the era of the Shoftim, the judges, we see that Devorah, for example, was a judge in the formal sense of the word. But even if that's the case, it doesn't indicate that there was a court system established throughout the land. On the contrary, the language of the Pasuk states, Udvora isha neviyah eshel labidot hi shafta Yisrael ba'etahi. Devorah, wife of Lapidot, was a prophet. She judged Israel at that time. These words suggest that any judicial activity centered on her personally, or maybe her court. During the era of Shmuel, we know that he traveled around the country in order to administer justice. It doesn't prove that there were no courts, but it doesn't confirm the existence of any. Either way, the justice system was centered on Shmuel's person and administered on his annual visits. In fact, when we learn about Shmuel's sons administering justice, we read, "Vayi kasher zaken Shmuel v'yasem et banav shoftim liYisrael." When Shmuel grew old, he appointed his sons judges over Israel. "Vayihi shem b'no abchor Yoel shem ishneu aviyah shoftim bever sheva." The name of his firstborn son was Yoel, and his second son's name was Aviyah. They sat as judges in Beersheba. They stayed in their hometown and had the people come to them. This suggests that there were no local courts. During David HaMelech's reign, we read, Hishkim Avshalom v'amat al yad derech hashar, v'yi kol ha'ish asher yelo riv, lavo el HaMelech l'mishpat, v'yi krav shalom elav v'yomer, ey mizeir ata, v'yomer mechad shiftei Yisrael avdecha. Avshalom used to rise early and stand by the road to the city gates. And whenever someone held a case that was to come before the king for judgment, Avshalom would call out, "What town are you from?" When the answer came, "Your servant is from such and such tribe in Israel." So there were no local authorities, and litigation had to be brought to Jerusalem. Maybe there really was no court system, and Yehoshaphat established one. Whatever the arrangement may have been, it seems not to have been systemized, and to the extent that it did exist, the authority was centered on a central figure of a judge or a king. Then, in verses 7 to 8, Yehoshaphat said to the judges that they should think about what they do. They do not judge on behalf of man, but on behalf of Hashem. They should have the fear of Hashem upon them and not show favoritism or take bribes. Then Yehoshaphat established a central court in Jerusalem. Devarim teaches that besides the courts which were to be established in every city, there was to be a central court in Jerusalem located within the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. Ki yipala memcha davar lemishpat ben dam ledam ben din ledin ben nega lenega divrei ribot b'sharecha v'kamta v'alita el makom asher yivchar Hashem el kecha bo. If a case is too baffling for you to decide, be it a controversy over homicide, civil law, or assault, matters of dispute in your courts, you shall promptly repair to the place that your God will chosen. Uvata el kohanim leviyim vel shofet asher yeh bayamim mehem v'darashta v'higidu lecha et kol divrei mishpat. And appear before the Levitical priests or the magistrate in charge at the time and present your problem, and they will announce to you the verdict in the case. Yehoshaphat appointed judges from among the Levites, the priests, and the family heads of Israel, which Devarim also speaks about. He commanded them, saying, "Thus shall you act in the fear of Hashem, faithfully, with a whole heart. When the lower courts come to you, the central court in Jerusalem, for guidance, you must admonish them to follow your ruling. Otherwise, if they adhere to their earlier opinions, they would be guilty before Hashem, and you would be blamed for falling short in your duty. If you admonish them and they fail to listen, you at least will have done your duty." He continues to tell them that Amariyahu, the chief Kohen, supervises all matters concerning Hashem. And Zevadiyahu ben Yishmael, the prince of the house of Judah, supervises all matters pertaining to the king. And they are informed that the Leviim will stand at their disposal to enforce any decisions which were reached. The parak ends with Yehoshaphat telling the central court in Jerusalem to Chizku v'isu v'yihi Hashem im atov. Now take courage and perform. May Hashem be with him who does that which is good. This year is dedicated to Zechra Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudi Bakiz Eliyahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and the Shivat Zion left an indelible mark on her many students.